The Birth of Dumas Mill. Grignon, The Dumas Mill, December 12, 1801, 7:35 a.m. That morning, the heavy stone millstones and the majestic water wheels brought the mill to life. The sounds of nature intertwined with the deep tones of the mechanism, creating a reassuring melody that resonated through the valley. Pinalis Raymond, miller and master alchemist, was deep in thought. He reflected on the truths of alchemy, what it still had to reveal, and the possibility of time travel. After waiting for Hippolyte, he began the conversation. "Hippolyte, it has been 3 years since you started living with us. What a joy! Your wife, Clara, is the sweetest and most tolerant young woman we have ever met. Your two sons, Amédée and Calixte, are delightful children. We are now truly a family, and I wanted to thank you for that." "Pinalis, I owe you so much," replied Hippolyte, "but first and foremost, my survival. Without you, I wouldn't have escaped my sentence or lived to witness my Napoleonic pardon. During my lifetime..." Hippolyte's voice shifted, betraying a hint of regret. "But there's more, Pinalis. Through your presence, your example, and our exchanges, you have taught us over the past 3 years the meaning of true love, tolerance, courage, and clarity of mind. I know that these teachings draw from ancient secrets. You have passed them on to me, my wife, and my two sons. How could I ever repay you?" Pinalis, moved, took his time to respond. "Hippolyte, the alchemy we practice together goes beyond artifacts or substances. It also manifests in our relationships, in the bonds that unite beings. The grain we grind in this mill, every drop of our sweat, contributes to our inner transformation. You have understood this. That is where true magic lies." He paused again, his thoughts stirred by the slow rhythm of the turning millstones. "Look at these millstones, Hippolyte, the way they align, coming together to create something new from what was. They mirror our own quest. Just as we transform grain into flour, we can also transform our souls by probing our inner truths. Above all, my friend, the work flourishes in a subtle murmur of the soul, which must remain serene amidst the tumult of passions, like a soothing torch. A well-disposed heart shapes the work. When shared, it intertwines infinitely, both beautiful and rebellious." The master alchemist's words captivated Hippolyte. Careful not to interrupt, the young initiate asked, "But how did I begin this transformation without even realizing it?" Hippolyte's question made Pinalis smile as though he had anticipated it. "My young friend, you took the time to observe. You took the time to look around you, to understand the world that surrounds you. Everything, even the most mundane, has its own essence. You noticed this. A simple flower, the rustling of leaves, the whistling of the wind. Everything speaks to us, if we know how to listen. Then, you learned to listen to the beating of your heart." Hippolyte nodded, gratitude evident in his eyes as Pinalis continued, "On another level, you grasped the importance of action. Another challenge. Alchemy is a science of action. You put all this knowledge into practice in real-life situations. You experimented, learned from your mistakes. You saw that failure is, in fact, an alchemy in itself, an opportunity to learn, change, and grow." Hippolyte shivered with excitement. The moment was pivotal. The two men stood side by side. Their exchange paused for a few minutes, perhaps for personal reflection or an inner monologue. The sun cast its first rays into the wintry cold. The resulting light made the place both mysterious and filled with promise. Morning mist glided over the basin. Hippolyte, visibly calmed by Pinalis's words, broke the silence. Penalis, I cannot help but think of my sons, Amide and Calixte. Despite their young age, they show impressive character traits, as if they have inherited, here, an ancient wisdom. Amide, for example, his curiosity is insatiable. I regularly see him in the garden's enclosure, observing insects, taking notes in his little notebook. He has a burning desire to understand how the world around him works. Panelis slowly rubbed his hands. A small cloud of flour dispersed in the mist. The cold, biting wind was no obstacle to the depth of their exchange. In fact, we shared this thought. Surviving is not enough. We can only truly thrive individually if we remain sincerely connected with others, each fulfilling their role and observing their duty. Felipe shared a reflection with me. Doesn't this magical forest, in fact, allow us to grasp the transition from what is to the abstract realm of being? It surely stems from soil that is both ontological and existentialist. Don't you think, Constantin? At that moment, I thought to myself without saying it aloud, yes, Philippe, absolutely. I agree. Will it be a beautiful day today? My question about the weather, as you might guess, was a deliberate digression. Philippe elaborated on ideas I didn't quite understand. His words carried the scent of human philosophy through my bark. I pretended to grasp it, just to please him. Okay, I'm going for a walk, he said with a knowing smile. If one day you come to rest your hand on my bark, at the entrance to the domain, we could talk, if you'd like. We could discuss either the passage of time or the weather itself. Philippe, I'm done for today. See you tomorrow, my favorite human. Constantine, 185 years old, in 2024. Venerable Olivier of the magical forest of Dumas Mill, first member of the Forest Ersoinrieurs, Forinabrefora, the Forest Areopagus, eternal friend of his human.